Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy Sunday wherever you are in the world. Today is a very jolly day here, and it's still hot as hot as anything else, and I think it doesn't matter where you are in the world, it's hot regardless. I am your host with the most. I am the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, here to welcome you back to the FRL headquarters. And today we have our very favorite musical guest who's returning to us after a little while. And it will be very exciting as we're just waiting for him to come on in, as we are going to be joined by Walker Campbell very momentarily. Boy, hopefully it's cool where he is. It is hot here. Ooh, it is Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, and I wanted to just again say it's going to be a joy to have Walker back on. We've been working a little while to bring him back on here, and I'm glad that we're finally able to accommodate and stuff like that. I know he's a very young man, and he's doing big things. We're proud of him, and he's doing amazing work, and he's got a new single coming out that you guys can pre-order, which I highly recommend, Hot Tamale. And he's always coming up with something. If you haven't heard his cover of Stacy's Mom, also iconic. And also very, you know, for us people in the 80s who were around for when that song was out, it was a very important song, part of pop culture history. Of course, MTV and the censors didn't like it very much, but we're in a different decade, in a different era, so it's very exciting. So very momentarily waiting for Walker, and he'll be coming here momentarily. I did tell them technically to wait till 11:04 their time, so that way there I could let people know that they're coming in and whatnot, and he's a busy young man, like I said. It is Sunday, so we'll have to see how this is going to go. This should be very exciting to catch up and see what is new and exciting in his world, and maybe, who knows, maybe he'll play a song if we're nice. So, hope you guys are all doing well. Again, happy Sunday to everyone. Hope you guys are having a great weekend. What a great way to kind of put a start your Sunday and also kind of put a, you know, close on your weekend and start off with some nice music. Or a musical guest, anyway. That's pretty exciting, I would have to say. Anyway, so we're moments away from the Walkinator to walk back into the FYL headquarters. That was a good pun, right? I know. I try, folks. I try. It was funny. Ugh. So, got my water, and I highly recommend people, make sure you're drinking plenty of water, people. That's just a PSA out there for those people who, you know, it's really important to stay hydrated, especially where it's so hot out everywhere. Water is important. It will keep you healthy and safe. Soda and juice and things with sugar will not do the honors, and as someone who loves coffee in the morning and tea, even I still drink plenty of water because water is important, especially in these hot days, and we're in the middle of the dog days of summer, as they call it. We're in the beginning of August, so we've still got a little ways to go for this month and the summer going. I'm told that this is going to be, this 90 plus degree weather we're having is going to continue for another who knows how long, so should be interesting. Oof. So, momentarily, pouring my water here. As you can hear me drinking my own water, I'm taking my own advice as well, in case you guys haven't noticed. It's important. Like I said, so make sure you're drinking plenty of water, people. Stay hydrated. Well, wonder. Hello, welcome to the FRL headquarters. I am the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. Welcome. Is this the Walkinator, Walker Campbell?
Yes, it is. What's up?
Welcome back to the FRL headquarters, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute, but you've been busy in a minute. Why don't you tell us what you've been doing for that whole minute that you've been missing?
Well, I've been doing some acting stuff. I've gone in a YouTube series show. I've done music videos. I've written some songs. I've just done a whole bunch of stuff.
That's awesome. You know, I enjoy writing songs too. Now, when you write songs, are you writing the lyrics as well, or are you just, well, obviously you write the lyrics, but are you writing the lyrics and the notes as well, or are you writing the lyrics and then working with someone for the notes?
So we were with a team. We were with a team, so I don't usually build the tracks, but we have like a team all writing lyrics and building onto a track.
Oh, sweet.
So we all just kind of work together, but I don't ever build the tracks.
I gotcha. Cool stuff. You've been busy. I've been catching a lot of your work. Actually, just moments ago, I was catching up on some of your YouTube stuff. Very entertaining, I got to say. Very entertaining. You definitely have the camera ability, so to speak, as they say. And I was just telling people about your cover of Stacy's Mom, which was, I told people they should check that out for people who are my age who lived during the decade when that was a thing. Can you tell us about how you came up with, how, what got you with that song? Because that's an iconic song, and I'm wondering how, like, obviously I know you have a very awesome sense of music anyway. So how did that song come to you, and what was important about it to kind of
My parents are big into like the 80s, 90s, 2000s music, especially my dad. My dad plays it all the time. And yeah, so I just, like, I did Creep a while back. That's kind of another song from that kind of time area. But yeah, I just really loved the song, and I started performing it at different shows, and I got great feedback from the crowd. So we wanted to get a track for it, and then we wanted to record it, and I feel like the YouTube video just came out really well, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback for the video too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, back when that song came out on the MTV, back when MTV actually played music videos, that was one of those songs that a lot of angry parents would call up and be all upset about.
Yep.
You know, because the
video, I can.
What's that?
I've seen it.
Yep. Well, it's an iconic music video, but which is awesome.
Of course.
Cause, I mean, your parents have awesome music taste, obviously, too. So kudos to them for, you know, showing you great music. Now, do you listen to, like, modern stuff, too, or are you more, like, the old school kind of stuff? What do you think for yourself?
Well, I love, like, pop rock, like the big – I feel like it's kind of big right now. But that's what I listen to. But, you know, as I was saying, my parents still love – so we kind of mix it up, you know, when we're just driving around. Just a mixture of in the playlist.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, that music video was like one of those iconic music videos from the day. Like all the parents would call up the radio stations and would call up the MTV and yell at MTV about playing their music video because a lot of them got all upset because of the subject matter where a lot of people back in the day, they were very sensitive to such subjects as someone having a crush on someone's mom. Which is
the classic little cool boy.
Yes. So you've been doing some acting, you said. What have you been doing for acting? Or is that for the music videos or something else?
Well, you know, of course music videos, but I started doing a lot more auditions. And I got a role in a YouTube series called Camp Radio.
Oh,
it'll be coming
out
this fall, sometime like this fall. But yeah, it was really fun. It's a 10-episode series. I did it with a lot of different kids. And yeah, we got to go out in Nashville and record it there.
Sweet. Music capital of the world. for country music. Anyway. That's Elvis country.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did you see the movie? Do you get to see any movies? And what kind of movies are you usually going for when you go to see these movies? If you go to movies at all, what are the movies you are drawn to?
Well, you know, always superhero movies. You know the Prey, the one that just came out about like the Predator?
Of course, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, well, I'm probably going to watch that sometime soon. I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I recently got big into scary movies.
You said you got into scary movies?
Yeah, recently I've gotten really big into scary movies.
Oh, awesome. So for what scary movies have you gotten into? Because, you know, we're a huge horror fandom over here.
Well, It. My
old
favorite
versions sound
like
or
a
the new one? The new one or the old one? Or both?
I don't know. Just random It.
Okay.
And that's the first thing that came up. And
cool.
Then I love this, like, medium scare one. It's called, what is it called? Okay. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That's it. Yeah, I watched
classic.
It with my friend.
That's a classic. That's
yeah,
based on books. That's awesome. That's based on a book series we had back in the 80s. That's the stuff we got to read.
Really?
That's
cool.
That's a good stuff. That's a really cool. And actually, that was Del Toro made that, I believe. And he's like one of the best like horror people currently to make horror films. Actually, this coming week, I'm supposed to head down to Cherry Hill, New Jersey for a horror convention. And I saw recently, did I see you were at a convention of some kind somewhere? Did I see that somewhere correctly?
I was...
Some meet and greet or something of that nature?
Was in Chattanooga?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I did see you.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I was on there.
Yeah, I'm curious what was that like for you to do those to meet fans and stuff like that? What was that like for you?
Well, I got to push out my music a lot. I was working with another booth, Hellman Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book series, so I was they kind of invited me over to, you know, kind of be there with them. I kind of shared a booth with them. But yeah, I got my own little separate, like, area, and I got some cards out. I got, like, a big banner. I got to push out my music and meet a lot of cool people.
That's awesome, man. That's good stuff. It's good to network and stuff like that. A lot of people don't really understand how that kind of business format works, a lot of, especially, you know, because, you know, if this is the genre people want to get into, these are the kinds of things you have to do. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%.
Of course, these are also things a lot of people don't think about when they say, oh, I want to sing, and they don't know what that actually entails, you know?
Yeah, well, you have to get a vocal coach. You got to get different, like, places around town. You got to get your name out. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that kind of goes into it.
It's true.
It's also really
it's
fun.
True.
Yeah,
it is. If it's something you enjoy and stuff like that, I always encourage people to look into whatever it is you want to get into and put all the eggs in one basket, so to speak. Put everything towards it, you know. So it sounds like you're doing great things with it. So let's see. So now you have a new music video coming out soon, I heard.
So, Hot Tamale. I can sing a little bit for you if you want.
We always love music on this show.
I'll sing it to you in a sec. Yeah, it's coming out August 19th. Yep, August 19th. The pre-sale came out Friday. So you can go save that now. Go save it to your playlist. Hot Tamale,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'll sing a little bit for you.
Sure, yeah. Sing us some tunes. You get your water ready and stuff like that? It's laid back on this show, brother.
All right, so I'll just do like the first chorus and verse.
Sure, whatever you're going to do. It's fine.
All right. Hoping this song is stuck in your head. Top line change is burning red like hot tamale, hot tamale, hot tamale. Drives you wild when it comes on, and I come to mind when you sing along. And you think about me, you think about me, cause you can get me out of your head. Hoping this is something that you can't resist. Hope it's candy to your ears and sugar to your lips. It gets you moving, it gets you grooving, gets you doing that thing you do. Hey, the truth is, I'll be sweet too, we'll get the best of you.
Hold on, I have an applause thing here somewhere I've saved. Hold on 1 second. I do. That's a horrible clap. But anyway, well done. Well done. Great stuff. Great stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. It's about trying to, like, you know, get that song stuck in your head, trying to get it. So that's all I hear. But yeah, I really like it.
That's good stuff. Now, is this something you guys can compile together, or is this something else?
Yeah. Well, I mean... Yeah, I worked with a team on it. I'm starting to write songs by myself, but I'm still tons of people.
I gotcha. It's a tough thing to write songs. See, I can write lyrics, no problem. It's the writing the notes part of it I sometimes have a struggle with. Like, I can play it. I can play the melody, but I can't, like, write it for some reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot to writing a song people don't get.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like the different beats and the different chords and all sorts of stuff.
Sure thing. Sure thing. I mean,
you also have to have the right equipment, of course.
Oh, of course. Right. I'm actually very excited. I just moved recently, so I'm going to be able to bring my keyboard home, which will be very nice. I can't wait to bring my keyboard in so I can stop playing playing keys again. I haven't played in a little while, and I kind of miss it. You play piano, you said, or keyboard or something of that nature? I think you said you did before, right?
Okay, so I did a music video a while back, Lonely, by Justin Bieber. And I did learn the piano for it. There's a little piano version. But yeah, that's basically all I've done for piano. I've done, like, a little bit tampering with it. My grandma, she's an organist, and she teaches me a little things here and there.
That's helpful. That's always. I remember when I was a young kid, I actually first started learning how to play the piano and the organ. It was originally I played by hearing it, and my aunts who were in the choir at church, they had the choir rehearsals. So what would happen is if the organist was out sick or whatever, they would have me fill in for the organist whenever they were out. So here I am, 7-8 years old, and I'm playing this giant church organ for the choir. It was a little intimidating, but, you know, if you want to get done well, you got to jump all in. It's pretty cool, though.
I just got a little kid playing a giant organ.
Oh, yeah, it was a church, one of those gothic-type churches. So, like, this big church organ was, like, you know, old gothic and, oh, man, just, you know, it was something that, I'm sorry?
I bet reaching the pedals would be hard.
We made arrangements for it. I mean, I was, you know, I had pretty long legs, but I was short, believe it or not. So as it turns out, I was good enough for a piano or a keyboard. Anything with keys, pretty much I can play. So organs, keyboards, you know, pianos, obviously. I don't know. I was always drawn to those kinds of things. And then picked up drums, which I also enjoyed. Also self-taught. But, you know, you can only do so much with drums and a keyboard. And actually, you can't do both at the same time, oddly enough.
Yeah.
You know, I always had a lot of, you know, respect for the people who can actually, like, play the guitars and other stuff because I don't have – I mean, I've tried the bass guitar, and I can play Smoke on the Water like anybody else. But, you know, guitar – I always found guitar to be different and – you know, I was never really into the whole guitar thing. I can play kazoo, though. I can really go with the kazoo. But I don't think that's technically an instrument.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's, like, first instrument or, like, first kind of go-to instrument will be the guitar. And I recently did a School of Rock. Yeah, so there's, like, drummers there, there's singers there, there's guitarists there, mm-hmm. there's bass there. And, like, so, and there's, like, keys there, too. And, like, so many people in my area do music that I just never knew about. And they did, you know, drum, and they were really good at it. They were, like, really good at drums, really good at guitar, really good at singing.
Sure. Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, School of Rock is a great program. I think that's awesome that they have that today. You know, the whole movie was based upon that whole concept. That was an actual thing that the whole movie was based on with Jack Black. It's a great program, especially for people who are in the music business, who want to get into the business, especially young people. That's what it's for. But, you know, do you get a lot out of it at the School of Rock? Because I know some people, other people who do that as well.
Well, I got a form. We do a big performance at the end of the week on Bill Street, the Hard Rock Cafe. The entire time I just met. Mainly the thing that I got out of was just meeting people in my area that do music and learn. And I did the guitar. I didn't really do singing. I just did the guitar for that week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I learned, you know, a couple little tips and tricks on the guitar.
Now, if you're in a band, what member are you? Are you the guitar player or are you the lead singer, in your opinion? How would you describe yourself as part of the band? Or are you a solo act?
In the band, I'm going to be the guitarist. In the solo act, I'll be.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer being in the band? Do you prefer doing a solo thing? Out of curiosity, some people have the difference of things. You know, some people prefer working alone.
It's a different feel for each because you get a playoff of other people's energy on a band. Everyone else's energy is low. Then it just kind of mixes it up. But if you're a solo act, everyone's looking at you. So you have to be at your peakest energy. But yeah, it's also fun. Just talking to other people, messing around with music with other people. And then on another note, being a solo act, it's just more independent.
Yeah. Sure, and the only person you really have to be in charge of yourself, as long as you can control the audience, that's all you really have to worry about. Where if you're a part of the band, even if you're a top notch, if someone, you know, misses a beat, someone misses a note, that affects the entire song and the band itself. That's where the band stuff comes into play. Trust me, I know. It's a thing. Now, you're a very sportsman-like – you're also a very big sportsman, are you not?
Yeah, well, I mean, last time we were on a call, I had to go play a lacrosse game.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us about – how did you do in that lacrosse game? Do you remember it?
I think we won that game.
Well, that's good.
Because, yeah, we won that – yeah, I'm pretty sure we won that game. But yeah, by the end of the season, I was, starter. I'm doing face off, which like starts off the game. And then there's like summer ball, there's fall ball. And I've been in the gym. I've posted lots of gym, workout routines, workout, everything on, especially on my TikTok, on my Instagram, I feel like that's kind of a new brand that I'm going for, just the workout dude.
try to get in shape and stuff like that. It's a good idea, especially if you're going to be on stage and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, because you have to get good breathing, you have to get good stamina, got to get good momentum, all sorts of stuff. Got to get good on stage, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Some of the best performers out there, some of the oldest rock stars are probably better shape than most people who do anything else. Guys like Steven Tyler and Joe Perry and, what's the guy from Aerosmith? The guy from Def Leppard. I think Rick Allen's the drummer. But one of the guys from Def Leppard has a whole whole fitness routine. He's the guitar player for Def Leppard. He's in Phil Collin, that's his name. He is in phenomenal shape, and he's like in his 60s. And he looks like he could go and compete in any bodybuilding competition. And Steven Tyler and Joe Perry, who are in their 60s, their grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and they still, have tremendous, shape. And I have to say that's probably, granted, first of all, they all got sober, a lot of guys from Aerosmith. But in general, they're workhorses because they know the importance of staying fit when you're going to go on stage. Because, you're a performer. So when you're on stage, you're going to be running around the stage. You can't sit in one spot. That gets boring. And probably for yourself as well as the audience, just sitting there on a thing. I don't know how many people who do that.
You got to be jumping around. You got to be singing. You got to be, expressing emotions. Got to be have high stamina. Got to be breathing right. It's all sorts of stuff that goes into performing, and you just got to be fit and ready for it.
Sure. Do you think your sports has helped you prepare for that kind of a thing?
Heck yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm a face-off middie, so that means I have to do like the most running, and that will give me the best breath control, best lungs. It helps me. I feel like it helps me a lot because lots of movement, lots of, jumping around.
Sure.
Feels like I'm a...
That's good stuff. Now, just for people who've never played lacrosse before, tell people about, what brought you into lacrosse versus all of the other sports someone could choose to play? What is it about lacrosse you enjoy?
So, I want to think about that.
Because it was available?
Well, every sport at my school is available. But I've tried so many sports throughout my life. I've tried, football, basketball, soccer, tennis, swim. But my absolute favorite, I just recently did it. Because, signs were coming up. All my friends at my... I moved to a new school, and, all my friends were doing lacrosse, and I was just like, oh, that'd be cool. And I just loved it. I just really got deep into it. Because it's, contact, you have to wear padding, but it's just not as aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not as easy to get.
Sure, I get you. I mean, I played soccer in high school as well as I was on the wrestling team and the swim team. Those were my three sports primarily. I was also drawn to sports too, and I think was also – I usually tell people whenever they're going to start school, and actually tomorrow's Monday, so tomorrow I'm going to be doing the Motivation Monday that people have jumped on the bandwagon with, which is cool. But, I think one of the – biggest things I tell people when they're going to start a school, regardless, if it's a new school or whatever, it's new school season, is to get involved with either a sports team at school or some type of club. Because one of the things it does helps you make meaningful relationships, hopefully, when you're there. Socially, it's great for you. But also, it helps you kind of gives you something to want to go to school for. Because if you don't go to school, you can't play. It motivates you to do that. You have to have good grades in order to stay on the team. And,
So I went to, middle school where there's a lot more kids than elementary school.
Sure.
Or at least for us. So, I had to become friends with the more quote-unquote popular kids. And all of them were doing lacrosse, so I was just, yeah, so that was just something that I thought I would try, and I was pretty good at it.
Sure. That's good stuff. Now, you enjoy running, because that's a lot of running, right? Lacrosse, I would imagine, right? Not. Good. That's a good thing. You need to be able to do that.
Yeah. And even in the mornings, like, I wake up. Sometimes I wake up early, like, when I have a show coming up. I get up early. I run around the block a couple times while singing. Because it's, like, it's good for.
Did you get that from me? Because that's one of my workouts. I usually do it walking, but that's something I recommend people to do because for the same reason, and actually for the breathing and for everything else, actually. I've been telling people that for a little while now, and you're the first person to say the same thing. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, so
Does that help?
Really good. And I do swimming in the summer. It's over.
Okay.
But I feel like that is, like, such an amazing sport because you have to use your arms, the whole bunch of breathing. You have to use your legs. Yeah, so that was when I was in really high, like, my lungs were in really high shape.
Yep. Yeah, you have to have good breathing and swimming as well. I love swimming. I still love swimming. I actually, just a couple weeks ago, went shark diving for the first time in forever, and it felt amazing to do something I haven't done in, like, 10 years. It was amazing to do. Have you ever been shark diving, by the way?
No.
It's actually a lot safer and a lot calmer than a lot of people think it is. I'm actually going again before the end of the summer.
I've honestly kind of wanted to go. Not, like, a lot, but I've, like, seen it on, like, TikTok and stuff. Seems pretty cool.
I think it's different for different people. One, you have to be, you know, pretty good at swimming. One of the things they recommend, in which I am, you have to get scuba certified, so you have to be able to have a tank because you have to have a special permit or license to do that. But once you have it, you know, it's for a lifetime. I did that a long time ago with a friend of mine, oddly enough, who was into that kind of thing. And actually, it was when we were growing up, that was one of the biggest things you wanted to do is get a scuba license before even getting a driver's license, which I can appreciate because I wanted to become certified in first aid and CPR before I wanted to do getting a license. So I can appreciate people who do things off the cuff, so to speak.
Yeah,
but,
I got my diver's license, like the very, I think it was like the first kind of month that I turned 10. That's like when you can get, at least in my area. But I got it like as early as I possibly could.
Awesome.
Every time we go on a trip, we go scuba diving.
You gotta. It's fun. Like people don't understand it, you know, if they've never done it. And I feel like sharks are like a lot of other animals that get a bad rep because, you know, the rarity of something that happens and usually it's people's, you know, not using common sense that usually leads to any kind of accidents that might happen. Because the weekend before last, and obviously I'm still here. I'm not missing any limbs. Because I, you know, did what I was supposed to do and, you know, I showed respect both to the nature and the animals, but also, you know, I follow directions and as long as people do that, you don't have any issues. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you don't get the side eye from other people when you say I'm going shark diving, right? Kind of like you probably get when someone says, you know, what do you do? And you say, you know, whatever the case may be, you know what I mean? Like everyone has that kind of a, you know, like, for example, you like to play lacrosse, right? How many people, like, at your school, for example, like, oh, you play lacrosse, but yet they think that, like, football is, like, the epic, you know, sport. You know what I mean? Like how,
yeah,
like American football, I got to be specific.
Yeah, my friends are like, oh, you play lacrosse? Okay. And it's like, why?
I get that. You know what I mean?
People just feel like certain just can't get out. Like, I mean, when I said And stories I hear, and people, yeah, just not thinking all the way through.
Yeah, that's usually what it comes down to. That's what I've found. I've been several times. I went a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going before the end of the summer. I'm still here and never had an issue. But I feel like that's a lot of animals and a lot of things in general. A lot of people have different assumptions of different things, and then they kind of push their opinions on. Like, I mean, you like to do music, right, in the various different types of music. How many people, like, when in your school, for example. Now, are you homeschooled or do you go to regular school?
I go to.
So you go to regular high school, right? Or what, a middle school, whatever, right? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, there you are. Okay, good. Thought we lost you for a second there. Okay. So you go to regular school. So do kids at school know what you do outside of school as far as the music and the acting and things like that? And how is that perceived at your school? Do people think it's cool? Do people like you do that? Or how does that work? How is that for you at school and stuff like that?
Everyone does it. It's like they play my music sometimes, like, in class or like around the school. And I get like made fun of by my friends, but I'm just like not like hardcore, but just like messing around.
Sure.
But yeah, they I'm pretty sure they actually like it. I mean, their style is like more rap, but they also like to support me too.
Mm-hmm. I get you. No, that's a good thing. I mean, I know it can be, you know, interesting like that and stuff like that. And everyone has, like, their own, you know, especially younger people, like, they can be kind of more critical sometimes. But also, that's the feedback that they're going to give. And, you know, but you know, you're doing great things in general. And it's important to know that for yourself as long as you know that. And as long as you have, you know, you and, you know, your support team, the ones who actually want to see you succeed, you should be all right.
Yeah. I mean, like, when I just started off, I was made fun of a little bit more, but, I mean, it still wasn't, like, bad. But, yeah, now just everyone knows, and everyone's just like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Sure.
So,
it's a big thing, you know. It can get a big thing, right? I mean, if you do good things and you're on YouTube and then on social media, then you're doing performances, right? And you're in front of the large groups. I mean, to me personally, I love performing live. Of course, different genres. Like, you do music, and I'm more of a pro wrestling type of element. But it's the same kind of feeling that you get in front of a live crowd, you know. And I'm just curious if you can talk about what that's like for you to be in front of a crowd versus when you're in a studio. Do you feel for yourself it's better to perform in front of a crowd? Do you feel better about that versus in a studio? Or do you prefer having the safety net of the studio versus the live crowd?
Well, it's like, you know, when we're talking about a solo act in the band, I like them both. But they both have, like, different feels because I was we were down in Memphis Friday. I was performing two songs for my friend Malika's release party. And there were, like, a decent amount of people there, but I was, you know, performing. And, like, one half of the group was having so much fun. One half of the time was, like, having so much fun. I mean, like, dancing around, and the other half was just kind of staring at me. So it's just like, and I wanted to, like, you know, power up the other group. I got some of them to kind of come with me to join the just jumping up and down. But some of them I just couldn't get to. But yeah, the people that were jumping up and down, they were like, oh, it was so much fun. They were having so much fun. I love, like, the energy from the people having fun, you know,
sure.
their energy. And I like playing off of that because it just kind of helps me in my singing, because if everyone's just staring at me, then it just doesn't give me a whole bunch of motivation. So I have to kind of kick off the beginning with some fun stuff. And then,
sure.
but in the studio, it's you're not really performing for anyone. You're just, because you can do it, like, again and again and again. There's nothing to really play off of besides yourself.
Right. Sometimes that's even harder, right? Because then you have to deal with yourself, and you have to deal with, because sometimes we can be our own, we can be our biggest critics over anybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Because, I mean, like, one note, you're just like, oh, dang it. But when you're on stage, people just look right over it because they're just having fun.
Right. So, yeah, that's, I mean, you're doing great. I mean, I can appreciate that, you know what I mean? I know what it's like to perform in front of people. And I honestly, I get that feeling. I get the adrenaline we feel when we're in front of a live crowd. So you don't have problems being in front of large crowds, or do you prefer like a smaller crowd to play on? As long as everyone's having fun, let's say everyone's having a great time. Do you prefer having a large crowd, or do you like a smaller contrite?
I think I can do just about any crowd as long as they're having fun. But I'm perfectly fine with small crowds. They're easy. Mm-hmm. Big crowds, it just, like, depends, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One time I had, like, this, my school rented out this, like, big theater, like, giant theater for a talent show. And I had to perform it. Oh, my gosh, I was so nervous. Because I've never been in such a big room. It was giant.
Right.
But, like, when I go in, like, where I can, like, see everyone, I'm not as nervous. But, I mean, it was, like, a dark room or a dark, like, big theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just nerve-wracking.
It can be. You know, once you get past that, like, nervous feeling is the first part of it, because that's, everyone goes through that, right? Get that just before you go out in front of it, because you know you're going to be in front of a live crowd. No matter how big or small it is, it's going to be a live crowd. And not knowing 100% what you're walking into is a different type of feel. But once you go out there and you start to get a feel for it, it's magic, you know? Especially if everything's going the way you want it to.
I get on stage, a little bit of the nervousness wipe off. I start the verse or first chorus or whatever. Same thing, a little bit of the nervous wipes off. And then when I finish that like first like little thing, I'm just like, all right, I can do this. If I see one person having fun, then I can just come out and explode.
Yep, I get that. That's good stuff.
So I just need that, like, one little push from the crowd.
Yeah, I get that. You just need that something that stands out that makes you know that they're there and invested, rather than you just singing on stage like you're a goldfish just sitting there swimming around. You want to make sure they appreciate what you're doing. I get that, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know anybody who likes to get stared at like a zoo animal. You know what I mean?
Especially when they're trying their hardest.
What's that?
Yeah. Especially when they're trying their hardest.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what you're doing, you know, is impressive. A lot of people can't do that. A lot of people, young or old, wouldn't even be thinking about getting caught in front of a stage, especially if they're going to be singing. Because singing is something that, even though everybody does sing at some level, some are better than others, but, like, everyone, you'd be surprised how many people won't take that leap if they're like, oh, I want to sing. But they, yeah, in the shower they'll sing, you know, or they'll sing in front of their families or whatever. But to do what you're doing is really impressive stuff, because you take it to that one, you know, this is something you want to do, so this is something you're going to take to that level. So that's pretty cool. Now, I had to ask you, you guys do family karaoke, is that correct?
What do you mean?
I saw that you were doing family karaoke, wasn't that? Didn't you do karaoke recently, not too long ago? You had a karaoke party where you guys were all singing karaoke?
Oh, yeah.
See, I pay attention to things. And it has been a minute, as you mentioned. I pay attention to those.
But yeah, so, I mean, my family, we're all music people.
Right, right.
And we have fun every once in a while.
Yeah, tell me about the karaoke. What's that like for you? What's it like to you to be around, like, family and stuff like that doing karaoke? Is it fun? Because it's your family, right, and people you know?
Well, it's a lot more fun because if you mess up, it's like I practice in front of my family all the time at home, so it's
right.
It's always fun just because we're just like, you know, messing around, singing songs.
So what's your go-to karaoke song? Do you have a go-to karaoke song that you go to?
Baby by Justin Bieber.
Yeah, that's a classic.
That
old school.
That was my first song that I ever took into consideration learning and doing something with it. That was the first song. That was the song that, like, kicked off. I don't want to say kicked off my music career, but that's, like, what started it.
So Justin Bieber's Baby is the song that inspired you to really want to get out there? Now, was it what he was doing with the song, or was it the song itself? Do you know what I mean?
It was, I don't know. It was just, I was a big Justin Bieber fan, especially when I started. That was just the song that, you know, it was good for my age, good for my look that I was trying to go for, I feel like it was just a good starting move, and it always, like, pumped people up because everyone knew it, and also I could do some rap for it. And everyone loved it, so it's just a great pump-up song, and that's why I just really loved it.
Well, there you go. I mean, hey, whatever works, you know, everyone has something that sparks them. Everyone remembers what that's like for themselves. Everything, someone's going to get inspired by something. It could be something small. It could be something big. You know, like for you, it was hearing Baby by Justin Bieber. Some people it might be, you know, watching Ozzy Osbourne, you know, on stage doing whatever it is. Some people might, you know, like some other music genre. Some people it might like Snoop or Coolio or, you know, Eminem. I mean, how many people have seen 8 Mile and wanted to go up there and do what Eminem did in that movie? Or, you know, all the other things, you know? It's pretty big things, and everyone remembers what those moments are like. Or for me, for example, I knew I wanted, even though I was training in martial arts at the time, and that was probably, you know, I was young. I was into doing multiple martial arts and stuff like that. I was young. And then I got to go to my first live wrestling show, and I said, that's what I want to do. So you never know, you know, and it's all, we all remember what those moments are like when that kind of, what we call the bug or the awakening or the getting bit moment is. Like for you, it was, you know, Baby by Justin Bieber. That's when you got bit by the musical bug. Me going to a live show and feeling that energy that they were getting was what, you know, I got bit by that, so. Everyone has their own different things, you know what I mean?
That, like, there's always something that just makes you, that's just that one push to get you to do that big thing.
Right. Now, you talked about writing songs and whatnot. See, I'm someone who enjoys writing. Do you like writing in general, or are you more like, are you more of like a singing type of thing? Like, do you enjoy writing on your own? And if so, what do you write?
Yeah, I do enjoy writing on my own. It's not a thing that I focused on. It's not a thing that I have, you know, when I thought of a music career, it's not the first thing that I thought of. But I really love, you know, writing with other people. I love writing by myself. It's hard to get ideas in my head because I'm just kind of starting at, you know, starting at a young age. I'm
sure.
Getting more experience as I go. But, yeah, but usually when I have an idea, I just bring it into a group writing session.
That's smart.
So that
like
they
in
can
general,
help
like
me
writing,
write it.
What about outside of music? Do you find yourself writing outside of music? Like, do you write, like, short stories, poems, anything like that? Or is it strictly all music for the most part for you?
Not really. I feel like now that I think about it, I probably should.
I mean, you don't have to. Not everyone is, you know, is able to do a lot of that, you know. It's a lot of work, as you mentioned.
My mom has started to, like, get me into, she started a poem idea box or poem idea jar. And that's
a bad
like
idea.
Every like day or other day, I just have to write like a poem off of one of the ideas. So that'll just kind of get my brain flowing.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you have that support, too. That's important. That's important, too, right? The support you're getting from the family. That's important because if you don't have that, I mean, you know, because if you don't have that encouragement, that could be kind of, you know, that wouldn't be, may probably get you go very far if you don't have that support, right?
I mean, my mom is probably my biggest support. She helps me practice. She's in the writing room with me. She pushes me. She gives me all new equipment, pays for my vocal lessons.
Probably also can help you. She's also one of my favorite people to talk to, by the way, as far as talking to people whatnot. She's one of the favorite people to talk to. But she's doing great stuff. And you're doing great stuff. And I think that shows. When you're enjoying whatever it is, the genre you're getting into, like you and the music, it's because of that awesome support you have, and that's awesome. Because if you don't have that encouragement, you're not going to be wanting to go through it all of it, you know? And I think that's good to have, you know? I didn't have a lot of that, you know, myself. I was pretty much, I was writing at a young age. I always enjoyed creative writing, something I enjoyed outside, but I was also, you know, because it was something different, because if you do something different than not everyone else in the world does, you know, kind of like, you know, whether it be music or lacrosse versus football or soccer versus, you know, whatever else, people are automatically like, oh, well, you do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was doing martial arts back in the 80s and the 90s when I was doing martial arts. People didn't, like, talk about going to martial art classes because you were kind of made fun of for that, believe it or not.
My family we're big into music because, you know, my grandma is an organist. My mom was like a dancer when she was young. She did a lot of music. My dad plays guitar a lot. So we're just a big kind of music inclined family. And so we all just kind of, everyone just kind of helped me. They all think that it's cool and fun to do. And then, you know, my school, they see that I'm getting somewhere with it, and they actually, you know, like my music, so they listen to it too and support me.
That's awesome. Now, does school allow you to, like, do performances and stuff to get ready for something else, or is that something you haven't looked into? Like, before you do something big?
Well, I get to, some days I get to, like, come out of school because, you know, I would have something.
Oh, of course, it happens, especially in the entertainment world.
But I have to, like, I have to work hard because I have to get good grades to be able to come out of school. Because if I have bad grades and come out of school, then that's just going to make it worse.
Sure, absolutely.
So I have to, you know, earn my come out of school. Yeah.
Now, what's the balance like for you? How is it balancing, like, school, music, acting, and whatnot? How does that balance go in for you? How do you find how?
It's an adjustment because, I mean, you got homework, you got schoolwork, you got auditions, you got, you know, practice singing. You got, you know, you have to have time to be a kid. Like some days I can't hang out with my friends because I gotta get stuff done. But my mom mm-hmm. helps me get that stuff done and get time to easily hang out with my friends.
That's awesome.
But it's hard. It's hard. It's hard sometimes.
It can be. I understand that. I mean, I, you know, when I give a, I make films, as you probably are, may or may not have known. And when I, one of the things I used to have to do is auditions for people when I have to have make films and stuff. And I'm always on the opposite end of that because I'm the one who's doing, who's hosting the auditions. So I can always, you know, appreciate what it's like for someone to come in to audition. Can, talk about the acting auditions for you versus everything else. Now, is that a struggle for you? Is that something you're comfortable with? Is this something you're, you know, just getting into? You haven't had an opinion of it yet?
Well, this summer, I've really gotten into it. I've gotten into it a lot more than I have. It's gotten easier to learn, you know, lines and scripts. It's gotten easier to pick up on, you know, emotions and all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And being on set, because I did Camp Radio, and it mm-hmm. just kind of helps me imagine where it would take me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I just, like, started off, I would have to be brought out of school, like, in the morning, and
mm-hmm.
I would be at home learning a script all day because I just couldn't
mm-hmm.
get it. And if I, like, late night, we would finally get it. And then
mm-hmm.
I would have to, like, do all the school work
mm-hmm.
late at night or in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've gotten better at it. I'll see
mm-hmm.
kind of what happens during the school year since that starts tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Exciting. Good luck.
Yeah. Of course, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's I've this summer I've just got worked on getting quicker on memorizing and getting quicker at just audit.
Now, what kind of movie projects are you usually drawn towards? Everyone has kind of the thing that they're looking for, or are you just looking for anything that's in your area?
Mainly looking for anything in my area, but I would love to be on like start like a Marvel movie, of course. I feel like everyone's dream. I'm just looking for someone that will, you know, take a chance on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
I mean, the acting world's tough, too, right? I mean, it could be just as
tough
as the music world.
Have you ever heard, like, it takes, like, 100 auditions to get a job, and after that it takes, like, 75 auditions to get a job, and then 50, and then 30, and then 50. It just, like, takes so much time to start getting to where you want to be. That's why I feel a lot of people quit, because it just takes so long. I've probably gone through, like, 89 auditions before Camp Radio. Probably not that many, but I know there's been a lot.
Now, what's it like for you? Because, I mean, obviously, if you have all these auditions, obviously, you know, sometimes you get the part, sometimes you don't, or whatever. What's that like for you when sometimes the role doesn't fit or whatever? You know what I mean? What's that like for you?
I mean, it's like, I don't really think about it because, I mean, like, I do the script, and then we can record it, and then I just kind of put it in the back of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, like, when I get a call back and I don't get it, it's kind of disappointing because, you know, you're so close.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't get a call back, I just kind of forget about it.
That's awesome. Because I can tell you that a lot of people I talk to, especially, I have some, you know, as you know, I have friends of mine who are in the entertainment world who make films and stuff. I make films for myself. So I know it can be nerve-wracking and stuff. And I know it's also, some actors take that really, really hard when they get that rejection, especially young people. They take it personal, which, you know, is always rough. but, you know, I, you know, because everyone has their different ways of taking that, you know, because not everyone.
I used to kind of be like, oh, man, come on. But then I just learned, like, over time, maybe I don't fit the role. Maybe just the way that I act doesn't fit the role. Sometimes it's not me. Sometimes it is me, but, I mean, they don't, like, reach back out. So I just think, you know, it might be my look. That is not what they're looking for. How I act is just not what they're looking for. I just don't take it too personally.
Right. And that's a mature way to look at it, you know, because as you get older in the movie world and the acting world, you kind of develop that skin, so to speak, for that. But, you know, when younger people are just going through it, just kind of breaking in, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Especially if that's like their first passion. Like, you have other things you obviously can do. You can jump into the music thing, and that sounds like you're really into that. So, I mean, you could do a lot. You could probably do Broadway, which you probably haven't thought of that yet. Have you thought about Broadway or being a stage performer?
Well, I used to.
Because then you get to do both.
That's where I started off. I started off doing school plays and, like, local plays and local musicals and school musicals. And that's where I just developed, like, a love for singing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I wanted to keep doing acting because I also really loved it too, but I just felt like stage performing just kind of wasn't, it just wasn't my, you know, I just didn't really enjoy
you
it
want
as
the
much.
Camera. You like the camera more, than the live crowd, as far as the movie works, as stage performing goes.
Singing is a different story because, you know, it's kind of what you have to do.
That's what they're expecting.
Part of the job. But when you're acting, you kind of have to choose one. And I just liked that version of acting better.
Sure. No, everyone has their own different opinions on that. And that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with liking cam work over a live crowd. Performing in front of a live crowd can be even more nerve-wracking. As far as, you know, acting goes, not so much the singing, but acting, because I'll tell you, if you mess up a line or you mess up, if something goes wrong in the music, in the play or whatever, then like, just like if you're part of a group, you know, some person's off on the tempo, well, if something goes wrong on the stage, something's going to go wrong and it's going to impact the whole thing, you know? Absolutely.
There's another skill to be good at improv, because if something goes wrong, you just got to pull it back together.
Right, but I mean, some people do prefer, you know, the camera work where it's just the camera. Now, as far as acting goes, are there people who you're in? Now, obviously, Justin Bieber influenced you as far as, you know, singing goes. Has there been any actors or anything this is kind of what I want to do, and this is something you want to take notes from?
There's not as many, like, kid actors, I would say. But, like, I've always said, like, Justin Timberlake, because, you know, he does acting and singing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's been Hugh Jackman. He's he doesn't do, like, singing, but, like, he does, like, musical stuff,
mm-hmm.
like, you know what I mean? It's just kind of, like, actors.
Sure. Hugh Jackman does stage, too. As well, Hugh Jackman actually does Broadway. He actually got his start in acting from performing on stage. So when he was probably the only one on the La Miserables, the movie that they did, that actually could do that, because he does that anyway. Hugh Jackman, also a very nice guy, by the way. but in general, that's how he started. Is by doing stage performing, and he enjoyed the camera work, obviously. And of course, everyone knows who Hugh Jackman is now.
Of course.
Depending on, you know, what age realm, a lot of people even know him as Wolverine or, you know, something else that he's done.
I feel like my generation kind of knows him from Greatest Showman.
Which is another example of, you know, his musical performance, because that's one of the things he can do. That's one of the reasons why he's able to carry a tune, so to speak. Might not be the, you know, he's obviously not going to start off large crowds or whatever like that, you know, have a musical career because that's not something he's into. But as far as Broadway goes, he loves that and whatnot. So, good stuff. That's a good person to, you know, look at because actually Hugh Jackman, you know, has, not only is he, you know, he can sing, he can act. He can also, he's also one of the, you know, people who is very down to earth as far as celebrities go. And it sounds like you're really grounded, which is a good thing. Sometimes in the entertainment world, people can, you know, get wrapped up in it. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah. Hey, so I got a back to school thing I got to go to.
Okay.
Great talking to you.
So before you go, why don't you tell everyone one more time where they can find you so that you can go and everyone can come track you down.
All right, so on everything, just about everything, Walker Campbell Official, WalkerCampbellOfficial, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Walker Campbell Official. My single, Hot Tamale, is coming out August 19th. Pre-sale came out Friday. Go check it out. And, yeah.
Awesome. Walker, it was great having you on again, and have a great school year, my friends. It was good hearing from you. We'll
right,
have to catch up
you.
With you at some other point.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Be All safe right. and have a great school year.
All right. Bye.
Peace, brother. So that was Walker Campbell, ladies and gentlemen. As you can hear, he's got a lot going on, and he's got a good head on his shoulders and a great support team. That's important. And, you know, I do encourage people to go check out all of his stuff, his various social platforms. By the way, in case you're wondering, how do I know all these things? It's because, of course, I follow and support this young man because he's going to be doing big things, mark my words. And, what's good is also he keeps on track of everything and he has a good mindset for it. Some people don't have that mindset for the entertainment business, and it can be very difficult. Walker does a pretty good job with that. Also, very excited because I didn't get to talk to him about it right now, but Walker Campbell is going to be joining the roster of our YouTube wrestling show very shortly. So Walker is stepping into the wrestling ring, so to speak, on our shows, so it should be interesting. And see how Walker does in the wrestling ring. He's athletic, so he's got that going for him and whatnot. And he's a busy young man, and it's a good thing. It keeps him, you know, busy, keeps him occupied, and it gives him something to do. It's positive things, not getting involved in the wrong things. I think it's easy to get caught up with, you know, standing on the street corner and then, you know, being surrounded by the wrong people where you can get involved with all kinds of things you might not originally have intentions for. But sometimes that happens, right? It's important to know that you can, you know, be yourself, always be yourself, but also just, you know, keep doing what you're going to do no matter who you are, what you're doing. So we thank Walker again for his time for coming on the podcast. It was always great to hear from him, and he got to sing a song for us a little while, and that was good to hear as well. Sounds like it's going to be a great song. I encourage people to go check that out. Hot Tamale comes out very shortly. And, and who knows? Walker Campbell might be part of Jazz and Friends Expo next year because there's two things you can do that. We'll have to wait and find out. I will be talking about Jazz and Friends Expo later, much later on, not today. But when I get more information for you guys, I will be giving more of it to you. But again, thank you to Walker and his mom and his, you know, family's fantastic to work with and talk with and stuff like that. I'm glad that we were able to get him in here again. And he, you know, he's doing good things, and we encourage him and everyone else to go after whatever they want to do in life. If you have a goal in mind, just put the work in and get it done. You don't become anywhere without doing some work to get there. Remember that. Okay, so this has been a great show and whatnot. But what I'm going to do is, before I let you guys go, I do want to add a couple more things. You know, Walker brought up, school, back to school tomorrow, and I know some schools are actually back already. You know, one of the things tomorrow is Motivation Monday, apparently, which, by the way, is something I thought I coined a couple weeks, like a long while ago. But anyway, no big deal. But what I wanted to do is, for the people who are going, getting ready to go back to school, no matter, you know, whether you're going back to school, starting a new school season, starting a new grade, whatever the case may be, a couple tips to help you guys out, no matter where you are, what grade you're going into, is one, always be yourself, no matter who you are, what you're doing. Just be true to who you are. Don't change for anyone. School can be nerve-wracking, and it could be easy to kind of go with the flow to make yourself fit in. Just be yourself. And, you know, the rest will all fall into place. The other thing I'm going to recommend, as I said to Walker, is to, when you get into a new school, especially high school and middle school, a lot of these types of things have school activities after school, whether it be a sport or a club. I encourage people to get involved with one of those. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be drama club. It could be an academic club, it could be chess club, it could be photography club, whatever your schools offer. If there's something that you sort of enjoy, or if it's a sport, and I'm sure most places have sports, find one that you enjoy and just become part of the team and bring out your best, do your best. And as I mentioned, there's two things that'll do is one, it'll keep you invested in school because you'll want to keep your grades up to be part of the team. It will give you a reason to go to school on those days where it's hard to get out of bed in the morning. But, you know, if you don't go to school, you can't play in the game or you can't practice for an upcoming game. That's going to be important, and you want to be part of the team. The other thing, it helps you socially. It helps you hopefully meet some people who will be friends with yours and will have you, you have your back if things go south or whatever else, at least you have those meaningful relationships with your team. The other thing it can do is open up all kinds of other avenues. You might find a passion in doing one of these things, and this will open up a window into something you didn't even think about. So I always encourage people to become part of some type of activity or school, whether it be a sport or a club, because that gives people something to do, as I mentioned, and keeps you invested in school. And another thing I wanted to say is people do not have the right to make you feel poorly about yourself. People don't have a right to mistreat you, to make fun of you, to humiliate you, to bully you. And if these things are going on, don't think that whether you're male or female, that should impact what your you know involvement should be. If you're in a situation where you know someone's giving you a hard time, someone's making your school life miserable, whether it be a teacher or a student, because we're in modern time and no one said it has to always be a student. I know myself, I've run into some teachers who were not so nice to my kids, and I made sure that was not a thing anymore. But it's always important to make sure you know your worth. And if you're getting in a situation where people are giving you a hard time, whether you're getting bullied or someone's making you feel uncomfortable, make sure you go to someone that you do trust, someone you do have a good relationship with, and let them know what's going on. This will save you aggravation, possibly a lot of other things down the road. It doesn't make you less of a person. It doesn't make you whatever else. If you can't deal with the situation yourself, find someone that can help you with that situation. Don't think you're weak, and don't think that it's something that you can't handle on your own. And if you can't handle on your own, don't be afraid or ashamed to ask for help. That is what parents are for, hopefully, or guardians are for. That is what the teachers are for, your guidance counselors are for. There has to be someone you can rely on. It could be a relative. It could be your best friend. It has to be somebody you can talk to about what's going on to make you feel better. The other thing I'm going to say is just know that school is going to be tough on everybody. No one is it's going to be hard for everyone. Everyone's going to learn at a different pace. Everyone's going to, whatever. My biggest thing I can tell you guys, take it one day at a time. If you have a test that's coming up at the end of the month or whatever the case may be, obviously prepare for it, but don't stress yourself out about it. Each day for itself. Have one accomplishment each day of your school days, and this will help you not overwhelm yourself with what's going on later on. If your goal is to graduate high school at the end of the year or to do something at the end of the year, don't worry about that. That's too far of a goal to make. Make it small goals, so make it that way. If your goal is to graduate with honors, then the first thing you should do is probably make the first goal with applying yourself to your class in the now, because that's something you have control with now. Don't worry about things that are not in your control. Don't overwhelm yourself with things that have nothing to do with you. Do not get involved into gossip, rumors. Stay out of all that. You don't need drama unless you're part of the drama club. So just stay out of all that, because if you can't get involved in the drama, then you won't have to worry about it. Don't put yourself in a situation that you can't get yourself out of. And I encourage people to apply themselves, no matter what it is. If you're one of these people that has struggles with a subject, and it's so much so that it's impacting your wanting to go to school, talk to your guidance counselor, talk to a school official, talk to your parents, talk to a guardian, and see either one, if you can change your class, or two, if they can find a way for you to either learn this better, another way to learn it, or just know that there's probably going to be multiple other subjects you can apply into. I myself was never huge into math, but I loved science. I loved history. And obviously, I love creative writing, which falls into English. So, regardless of how I felt about math, I always applied all of the other subjects I enjoyed. If recess is your thing you're looking forward to most, then you need to find something else to attach yourself to the school, because I am 42 now, and I still go every single day. I learn something new. You never stop learning, no matter how old you are. A lot of people who don't think that they can finish school, who think that they have learned everything that there is to learn, you're lying to yourself, because you're going to learn something whether you like it or not. And for the people who say, well, I'm never going to use any of these things out of school, you're forgetting a couple things. One, what is school really preparing you for? It's preparing you for a successful life after school. Really, it's to prepare you for what the work world is, because if you don't work, you can't afford money. Well, you don't get money. So if you don't work, you don't bring home money. And if you don't bring home money, you can't provide food, clothing, and shelter for yourself, because those are the necessities that human people have. And those are necessities, food, clothing, and shelter. And if you can't afford those things, or if you're someone who thinks that, someone's going to take care of it for you, then you need to change that, because someday, somewhere down the road, it has to be you who takes care of you. And then that's not to discourage anyone for asking for support from people. But I definitely do think, definitely know that people will have various different, you know, things they're going to enjoy. There's going to be things they don't enjoy, things they do enjoy. And not everything is sunshine and rainbows, so to speak, right? School is challenging, sure. But if you don't think what school does, it gets you ready for what the rest of the world's going to bring you. And what the world's going to bring you, you got to be able to get up to go to work in the morning, which is why you have to be up at school at a certain time. You need to be able to function for 8 hours or so at a job, which is why you have about at least 5 or 6 hours, sometimes 8 hours of school learning. That's to prepare you for the 8 hours you're going to do on a job. And if you don't think the things you're going to learn in school are going to help you, you'd be surprised where they pop up. I mean, on the cuff, I mean, yeah, sure, you're not going to need to know, you know, I mean, think, well, no, actually, it's not true. Everything you're going to learn in school, you are going to use at some point down the road. You just don't know when. For example, people who don't think they need to learn geometry or algebra or anything like that, this is a waste of time. I don't need to learn this. Well, let me tell you where that comes into play. If you go to the grocery store, which eventually you're going to have to do, how do you know how much something weighs? How do you know how much something costs? It goes by the weight. If you don't know anything about weight that you're going to learn in school, then you don't know how much something's going to, you know, how much that's going to cost you. And money is a great motivation for learning things. And that's how that works. Sure, you might not need to know, you know, what the, you know, life expectancy is, what the reproductive, you know, functions are of a platypus, because there's none here, like, in your area, but it doesn't hurt to know basic things about animals in general, life science. If you don't know anything about, you know, photosynthesis and how plants work, well, the sun, the stars, the, you know, if you don't know what the moon does, how the moon affects the high tides, low tides. If you're someone who dreams of being a surfer, then you should probably know how the moon actually affects your high tides, low tides, whether, you know, whatever's going to happen there. You know, you can learn about different ways to do certain other things. Now, I do have to say something about history. When it comes to history, you know, obviously you're going to learn various different things. What we learned in school is different than what you're going to learn now. When I was in school in the 80s, we had 9 planets. Now we don't have 9 planets. We have 8 planets. So when I was going to school, there was Mercury, Mars, Venus, Earth. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. My very earnest mother just served us 9 pieces. That's how we were always taught, right? That goes by, that's an acronym. That's where you learn those, each of those planets start with a letter. So my very earnest mother just served us 9 pieces. That takes the place of Mercury, that takes Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. See? But now Pluto is not a planet anymore. Now it's a moon or some kind of something like that. So that's what kids are learning now. Things are always constantly elevating and changing with that comes, you know, as time goes on. Kids are learning probably now about global warming, which we didn't learn about back then. Probably should have. You know, as far as history goes, I do have to say when it comes to history, you do have to be careful. I do encourage people, if you're learning something, to kind of go further with learning about it. When I was taught in school and when I found out other things, I did my own research, it was hard for me to, you know, wrap my head around. Certain holidays we celebrate shouldn't, in my opinion, shouldn't be celebrated, but that's a political thing and that comes from something we're taught in school, which turns out to not be something we should be encouraging. But I definitely think it's important to learn the history. Just know that it's okay to look further into whatever it is you're learning about. Don't take it at face value per se, but for the most part, it's probably going to be something close to what's true. Just do your own research as far as history goes, because some things can change or whatnot. In fact, there's a great book called what my teachers taught, what we didn't teach us in history class. I highly recommend this book, and it's basically all the things we learned about in school is basically the true stories behind each of those things. But I encourage people to read that when they're old enough to read it, because I think it's a different. It's better to know everything versus know partly what's going on. So is that. The biggest thing about going back to school and the biggest thing I can do is to encourage you guys to remember the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Don't go in to make someone else's life miserable at school. Worry about you. Worry about your friends. And how do you find a real friend? That's going to be important too. Who you associate with is going to define how you're going to go throughout school. And it can be hard sometimes to acknowledge that you're in a friendship or a relationship that isn't necessarily going to get you very far. And there are red flags that will address those things. Things like, in a good relationship with your good friends, they're going to encourage you to do the best you can, where someone who's not such a good friend will just accept whatever it is and discourage you from achieving anything. A good relationship, they're not threatened by other people in your circle. A negative one will try to keep you for themselves. You know, a good relationship, they're willing to both listen to you day or night. A negative one, it's only when they need something or if they have an issue, they go to you. But if you need something, you can't talk to them. If you're surrounding yourself with people who are constantly getting into trouble, then you could probably, know that you're probably going to be around that as well. And you're going to be labeled that regardless if it's true or not, just because of who you're around. I tell my kids this all the time. If you're in a store with your friends, and if you didn't, whether you've seen it or not, if your friend takes something, puts it in their pocket, walks out the door, and the alarm goes off, because you're with your friend, regardless if you knew or not, you're going to be in trouble too because you were with them. And that's how people look at things. So be careful who you associate with. If you're with people who are constantly getting in trouble, that's kind of what you're going to be looking into getting into. Associate with people who are not going to get in trouble because that'll keep you on the straight and narrow. Again, if you're getting involved in sports or a club, that for the most part will take care of some of that. But it's also important to know what your limits are. In school, we feel all kinds of pressure to fit in with everybody else, to wear what everyone else is wearing, listen to what everyone else is listening to, talk the way everyone else is talking, watch the same kinds of movies, listen to the same kinds of music. This goes back to the very first thing I said, just be who you are. Don't change who you are for someone else. If you're someone who doesn't like horror movies, just continue liking, comedies or whatever. There's nothing wrong with liking comedies. I like all movies. If you're someone who likes rock music, then continue listening to rock music. If you're someone who likes rap but everyone else likes rock, well, guess what? We all have our phones, our own earphones. Listen to whatever brings you joy, not everyone else. If you like to write, sing, dance, whatever it is, just do that. Don't let other people discourage you from being who you are. Don't let others define who you are. Know who you are and accept who you are. You're an amazing person because you are just a person. We are all human. We make mistakes. We all breathe. We all bleed. We all, you know, for the most part, that's how everyone is. So just know that you're human. It's okay to be human. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay not to know everything. It's okay to fail on those times. It's all about what happens when you learn from it. Once you're learning something from the situation, then it's a win. So that's to help people who are going back to school and so forth. Apply yourself, invest in yourself. Don't let others discourage you from doing whatever it is you want to do. Stand up for yourself, have self-worth. Don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it. And just live the FRL way with love, care, and compassion, and standing respect for each other's differences. When you have all those things in order, you will have no problem with the rest of your school year. Folks, I want to thank Walker Campbell for stopping by the FRL headquarters and sharing his music and his passion for just the entertainment world. And it's great to see a young man who's going out there and doing whatever he needs to do. And everyone else out there, enjoy the rest of your weekends. I am the FRL icon. This has been the FRL headquarters, and may all your dreams come true. Peace, everybody.